Listen to the words of a 26-year-old single woman from the crossing. Community had never been a part of my life. Growing up, I lost my mom to a car accident, and I saw my dad fall deep into an alcoholic addiction. It felt like I was living on an island, operating as my own parent and my own family. Eventually, I moved to St. Louis and started attending the crossing alone. I started to meet a few people through joining a group and taking explorations. But only a year later, my dad died to his addiction. Within an hour of hearing about my dad's accident, I had friends from the crossing sitting in my living room to be with me. I stayed at someone's house for weeks while they helped me navigate my grief and my next steps. I haven't just found a community here, I found a family. I would not have been able to make it through this season without them. There's something special that happens when you choose to be brave like Chelsea and take a step towards Jesus inside of community. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you take practical steps towards Jesus and community? Because he's the ultimate, he's the perfecter of our faith. He is the reason why we spur one another on to do good deeds. There's another book in the New Testament that talks about, it's Philippians, and it's kind of like Paul is talking, he's like a coach talking to athletes, and he's saying, okay, forget what's behind, let's move forward, let's take steps, and let's move forward together. It's kind of like an athlete in training. I'm Judy West, by the way, I'm one of the pastors here, and I was a Division I runner and coach, and as someone who trained as an athlete, you would train, compete, talk about the race, but then you kept going. The next day, I'd strap on my running shoes and go for another run and keep training. It's kind of the same way with Jesus. How do we train to do life with Jesus? He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the prize. He's the goal. Okay? So what I'm going to do now is walk you through, how do you know a next step to take? I'm going to do it, start this whole conversation by doing it through the grid of our three E's. This is our mission statement, our vision statement. And as we go through it, I know a bunch of you are going, I know it's our three E's. Would you be able to, if you were sitting at Caldi's and somebody said to you, I'm kind of stuck with God, or I don't have a community at the crossing, would you be able to whip out a piece of paper on a napkin, back of a napkin, and draw these three E's and explain it to somebody? Okay, that's for some of you. Others of you, as I go through this now, it's going to kind of be like a self-assessment. Where am I, and what do I need to do next in the light of these three E's? Okay, so for years now, this is our mission statement. We have dreamed of being a church family, no matter your age, your background, where you're from, where everybody explores the truth of Scripture, okay? It's really important. The Bible is God's main way he communicates with us. It's really important to own one and to open it up. Now, when I came here 23 years ago, as I don't know what I was, skeptic, seeker, doubter, atheist, agnostic, whatever I was, didn't own a Bible. But it was really helpful to have the scriptures on the screen. That's how I first learned about scripture. If that's where you're at, that's a great place to start. But eventually, you're going to want to own a Bible and open it up. Like, I thought this was a book of fairy tales. And then I opened up and I was shocked at the history in here. I did research on the validity and the reliability of the Bible. It was just fascinating to go through this and just even to see how personal and helpful it is. I remember the first time reading the words of Jesus in Matthew 18, 15, when he talks about how to resolve conflict. And so I'm like, okay, let's see. So I did it. I actually did the steps of Jesus and it worked. It resolved the conflict. I'm like, well, golly gee, willy bobbers, this stuff actually works, and God knows what he's talking about. Go figure. Okay, so this is so important that after the service today, our bookstores are open. Campuses, you guys, you have pop-up bookstores. Our teams are there. They're kind of like having Bible tutorials after church. You can go in, look at different Bibles. Maybe you want one with maps, without maps, commentary, without commentary, margins to write in, no margins to write in. You get to pick a Bible that fits your learning style, all right? But also, it's really important things like to know what's actually in here. Have you guys heard people say, God helps those who help themselves? Not in the Bible, okay? Not in here. So it's really important. Truth, not truth. Truth, not truth. You really want to know if you're going to follow Jesus, what he says, okay? So it's really important to explore the truth of Scripture. The second one is we're all called to experience the grace of Jesus personally. You do not, I do not inherit our parents' faith or lack thereof. It's important to come to a place and go, okay, is Jesus who he claims to be? Do the homework, do the research. But finally, you got to get to a point where you're like, it's almost like you say your vows to Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus, on this day I commit my life to you. I want a personal relationship with you. I give my life to you. He wants us to experience him personally. And then that last E is the express. Once we receive that love and grace of Jesus, we're exposed to express his love boldly to a watching world. So as disciples of Jesus, we're supposed to do all three. Engage our head, our heart, and our hands. And when we do all three, that's when we find our sweet spot with Jesus. Now, how do you live that out in community, like Chelsea was talking about? Well, we would say, would you consider exploring the truth of Scripture within groups and classes at the Crossing? We provide the opportunities, and oftentimes you find that fellowship, the koinonia Greg talked about last week, exploring the truth in groups and classes, that's when you can find community, opening up the Word of God together. Experiencing His grace. Weekends. Our weekend services are set up for all of us to encounter the triune living God. That's why we worship and pray and do communion and the teach. It's meant for us to say, we're inviting the Holy Spirit in, and so everybody can experience God together. So are you attending weekend services on a regular basis, okay? And then the final one, the expressing the love of Jesus, the simple way in community is through our serve teams. Some of the closest relationships I have here came because I was on a team with somebody else, okay? So you can, right now, this is a self-evaluation part. Are you involved in groups and classes? Doesn't have to be 52 weeks a year. But are you opening God's word within a community? Are you attending weekends on a regular basis? Do a self-evaluation. And then are you currently serving on a serve team? So now let me play this out. I'll give you an example of how if you're walking with somebody, you can do this on the back of a napkin. I'm going to change a few details of the story because I want to protect the conversation. But it's teaching explorations. And night number two, a gentleman said, can I talk with you after class? I'm like, absolutely. He stays after class, and he said, I feel stuck with God, and I don't know anybody here. So I go, okay. He shared a little more of a story, grabbed a piece of paper, did all this, just like I did with you guys. And then, because the other thing that he was really stuck on, he was trying to take steps here, but the part that he was really struggling with is I hear you guys talking about this fellowship, and I don't have it, because I had said, when you do all of these together within the context of community, that's when you get the fellowship Chelsea was talking about. And he said, I'm missing that. So I go, okay, let's evaluate. Let's start with the groups and classes. You've now done two nights of Explo. Awesome. Have you done anything else? And he said, no, that's the only thing I've done at the Crossing. Great start. Would you tell me now about your weekends? And he goes, yeah, I attend all the time. I go, tell me a little more. Describe that. And he goes, well, I go one time a month to Mid Rivers, two times a month, to Chesterfield, and then one time a month online. I go, oh, so you attend three different churches. Now, I'm being silly. He goes to the Crossing, but he attends three separate locations. And then I go, talk about a serve team. Are you on a serve team? Sorry, guys, I don't know if you can see this over here. Are you on a serve team? And he said, no serve team. And I looked at it and I go, okay, so basically you've been 3 hours in a pocket of community, three different churches, and you don't serve. You shouldn't feel connected. I wouldn't feel connected either. That's normal. You're normal. He goes, oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's totally normal to feel that way. But if you're longing for a next step, what are some action points? So I said, let's finish out Explo. That's four more nights. And then we can talk about what's next. Would you pick one campus? Go to one campus for 6 weeks, and I challenge you to sit in the same seat. Because we're all creatures of habit. I can close my eyes and tell you where everybody at Chesterfield sits most of the time, okay? We're creatures of habit, it's okay. Go to one campus, sit in the same seat, and actually turn to your neighbor and talk to them. And then when you're ready, would you try a serve team? Like I said, some of my closest friends have come through serve teams. And he goes, you know, I've always wanted to be on the parking team. And I go, when you're ready, you can help us park cars. And he goes, now, done. Let me introduce you to the parking team, guys, okay? Those were all steps he was going to take. So right now, you can sit there and go, where am I with all of this? What's my next step? Should I sign up for a group or class? Should I pick one service, come 6 weeks? Should I sign up for a serving team? Because when you take those steps, you meet Jesus, and you can meet him in the context of community. So we're now going to go even more a deep level and talk about really practical steps. Ron, Allison, will you guys come out? But as they're coming out to help me, if you're listening to me talk about this right now and your guard is going up because you've come out of a hurtful church experience, first of all, I'm sorry, we're sorry. It's not the way it's supposed to be, but we're broken. Hurt people hurt people. And we want to make sure you don't stay stuck and don't stay hurt. We have a 6-week class coming up called ICU, Intensive Care Unit. It's led by a certified counselor. It's closed, confidential. We don't even know who's in the class. It's very private. And her passion is to help you get over the pain of a hurtful church experience. So I'm begging some of you, please don't sit there. It's okay to come and just sit and soak for a while, that's fine. But don't stay in that pain. That's not God's plan for you in your experience in the church. ICU might be a next step. Oh, there's the QR code. Speaking of QR codes, grab your phones. These guys are about to help me. There's going to be action steps for the next few minutes. If you can't take pictures from your seat, everything we're now about to talk about is out of the connection point, including all of the QR codes. So this is Allison Rattenberg. She is our serve coordinator and groups lead, and Ron Sweet is our Fenton campus pastor and oversees men's groups. So here we go. Kick us off. I'm putting my chalk down, getting my water. Would you start talking, and then we're going to have a conversation and interview and somebody in a minute.
I would love to. Well, first of all, did you know that we have 68 different volunteer roles here at The Crossing? It's pretty awesome.
68, that's incredible.
So what we love to do is to really be able to help people to figure out which role is best for them, you know? And a lot of times that seems a little overwhelming, so I love to have conversations with people and just ask them some questions to get to know them a little bit better. Like, what are your passions? What keeps you busy during the week? You know, do you like to serve out front or kind of more behind the scenes? And really talking about what is your sweet spot for serving, right? Like, what has God really wired you to want to do? The cool thing is that you can use your gifts and your passions in a variety of different roles here. So maybe your gift is hospitality. You could be a barista at the coffee bar. You could be on the welcome team for Kids Crossing. You could be a small group leader. So depending on your passions and your commitment level, that kind of helps us figure out what's best.
Yeah, Allison and our teams are really good at asking those curious questions and trying to find sweet spots. Just don't ever let anybody, if you say, well, I think my top gift is administration, don't let anybody ever tell you, there's only one place to use that. It's not true. You can use the gifts in almost every ministry area, which is why you ask about passion areas.
Yep.
But even when you get in the teams, they're very different.
Yeah.
Even the different people on the teams.
You know what I love, too, is that people on the team are in different places on their faith walk. You know, you've got people who have been following Jesus for a really long time. You've got serving alongside people who are brand new on their journey or people who are still asking questions. And we all get to serve together and learn from each other. You know, it really represents the body of Christ, like talked about in Romans 12.
One of our favorite verses we teach about in Body Life, Genius of One, is the many are one. You get to use different body parts doing different things.
Yeah.
Would you give them the fun fact about ages?
Yeah, this is really funny. So according to what we know here, we think that the youngest person serving is 8 and the oldest is 88.
It's incredible. 80 years.
80 years difference.
So you're never too young, you're never too old to serve. And if you're sitting out there wondering, okay, what are all these opportunities that they're talking about? This is the next QR code for you, takes you right to the serve page. And that gives you all the different roles, and you can just click on those and read a little description and click on, you know, you can.
Yeah, and they're just not serving together. When you roam at Fenton before service starts, you pop your head in team time.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do when I have time is to go just kind of pop my head in the door and listen in on the Kids Crossing team. They have this team time before the kids show up, and it's really just kind of their time to gather as adults, and there's kids in there too, mm-hmm. and students, but they just love on each other. They take prayer requests. They share very, very personal things that are going on in their lives. If somebody needs help moving, there's people jumping in and helping them. If somebody is has somebody sick in the hospital on their team, somebody jumps in to help. It really is a community. I mean, they don't just serve together. Like, they do life together.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome to watch.
Christmas.
Yeah, it's so fun to also hear about things teams are doing outside of the time that they're serving together. So there were several teams who met up in various places of the city before Christmas and walked through the Christmas lights with their families
cool.
and their teams.
Yeah. Okay, so that's some of the, there's the serving team QR code. That's the Express, the serve one. We're going to shift to explore. You guys, we're on the clock. You do not have 22 hours to talk about this. You do have to talk about small groups all day. Would you give us a glimpse into the power of a small group?
Yeah. Well, I think I love talking about it so much because I've personally experienced it. And I've been very fortunate over the years, to have different groups I've been a part of, men's groups, a couple of small groups, where people have poured a lot of time and encouragement and spiritual truth into my life. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the different groups I've been in throughout my life. So I'm very passionate about it. So that being said, we're going to be kicking off. Allison and I have been working closely together to kick off some small groups that will be launching in a few weeks here. And groups for everybody. Groups for men, for women, for married couples, for 20-somethings, for singles. I mean, you name it. We have the gamut of different groups that will be meeting. And they'll be meeting all different places and locations. Some will be in coffee shops. Some will be in homes. Some will be on Zoom, online. Many of them will be in our physical buildings, which we're really excited about, that we have designated mornings and evenings where different small groups can meet. And most of those groups will be lasting around 6 weeks long.
Will you stop and explain, though? We get asked that, why 6 weeks? Why doesn't this go on 52 weeks a year?
Yeah.
Will you explain?
I think there's nothing magical about 6 weeks, okay? We've just, I think, found over the years that the best way for somebody to sort of try out a small group, to dip their toe in the water into community, is to commit for a certain length of time. So with the powerful thing about 6 weeks is there's this clear start date and there's a clear end date, and you're not signing up to be a part of this group for the rest of your life. So if the group doesn't go well, you kind of have an out at the end of 6 weeks. But if it does go well, and we've seen this happen many times, is that group then will continue to meet week after week, and they become kind of this official small group. And when that happens, oh my gosh, we celebrate that.
Awesome.
That's a total win. I mean, there's a group of guys I can tell you about right now that meet on Tuesday nights here in Chesterfield, a men's group, and they met each other last fall when we went through a 6-week series called Kingdom Man together. And we love when we have it. In fact, the guy that we're going to hear from today, that you're going to interview, Judy, was a part initially of a six-week group and how it's had an impact on him.
Hey, and by the way, we had nearly 1,000 people participate in small groups in 2021. It's really awesome.
Yeah, considering everything that was going on,
that's
a really great number.
Yep. But a lot of those groups are ongoing now. The people have found their people, and we celebrate that, and that's awesome. And now we're ready for a new wave of leaders. So if you're sitting out there thinking to yourself, this is something that I would love to do, I would love to talk to you. And yet another QR code for you. If you're interested, it will just take you to just a form to fill out. It'll send me an email, and then we can get connected.
With that said, though, you don't need our permission to start a group. Grab some friends. Open the Word of God. We'd love to know about it so we can resource you, but you don't need our permission.
That's right.
You can start a group on your own. Would you talk about the men's stuff?
I would love to. I'm super excited about it. 2 years ago in 2020, right before the pandemic, there were 5 of us that drove to Milwaukee for a men's conference called No Regrets. At a church up there, and walking into a room for me with 3,000 men worshiping was a pretty life-changing experience. And we looked at each other, the 5 of us, and said, we need to do that at the Crossing. Well, fast forward last year, we did it. Even with everything going on, we had guys gathering in homes and online and Zoom to participate in this conference. And we're so excited this year. We get to do it in person in the Hub here in Chesterfield. We're expecting 400 men to show up. We'll do breakfast. We'll do live worship. There'll be breakout seminars from world-class leaders and teachers. Our prayer is that Saturday, February 5th, will be a launching pad for a bunch of men's small groups that will be meeting throughout the week at all of our campuses. So guys, I just think it's going to be one of those events where there's just very few times in our lives where we get to gather with other men in a room and hear from another man about what it means to be a godly man. So I just encourage you to sign up. I really believe it's going to fill up, and I can't wait. So February 5th, no regrets.
And for women?
Yeah, we have a couple, actually, really timely studies that we're doing in small groups to just kind of give us some strategies for navigating through these stressful times that really will give us more of a peaceful time.
Okay, so. Before I introduce Derek, any last thing either one of you want to say?
I would say that I moved here 4 years ago, and I did not know anyone. And through community, through serving, and through my small group, I'm known. And that would be my dream and prayer for all of you, too.
I think for me, just a quick story. I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but how many of you rode a bus growing up? I grew up playing basketball. So all through middle school, high school, and even 2 years in college, I spent many a bus rides going to out-of-town games. And great experiences. I look back and think, gosh, it was something powerful about being on that bus with these other teammates. We're all moving in the same direction. We're going after the same goal. We got each other's back on and off the court. So this past summer, I gathered with 35 to 40 men's leaders from across all of our campuses right here in the courtyard at Chesterfield outside. And we handed out these buses. And we talked about the importance of having other men on your bus. And what that means is that you have people who will encourage you, will pray for you, people that you know are for you and will point you to Jesus. And you know what? I just don't think it's men. I think all of us need people on our bus in our life. And I really, truly believe with my whole heart that serving in small groups are one of the best ways to find the right people to be on your bus. So.
Well, hey, Derek, come on out. You're on Derek's bus, and he's on your bus.
That's right. Yeah, he is. He's on our men's ministry bus and has really helped form and shape the ministry. So I'm really excited you guys get to hear from him.
So this is Derek Wilton, everybody. He goes to the Fenton campus. He came up here to share a story. He said to me, he's a raging introvert, so give him your friendly eyes. This is very scary for him. but you grew up in Fenton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Grew up with a family who went to church, but then by about fifth grade, you stopped going just because of sports and busy schedules. But then something significant happened spiritually when you were in eighth grade.
Yeah. So it was the summer of eighth grade. I went to an FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, baseball camp. And at that camp, I ended up being paired up with my bunkmate was an upperclassman at Marquette High School. And it was through kind of a late night one-on-one bunk room conversation with him that was really the first time that I heard and understood the message of Jesus in a way that I could relate to. And so I can look back at that time, that camp specifically, as where my personal relationship with Jesus started. And then fast forward a couple of years, and I started going to church pretty regularly with my then girlfriend at the time and her family. And ended up being baptized at a summer youth camp that we went to in the ocean. So.
And that then girlfriend is now your wife.
She is.
You married her in 2011, and you guys moved to Chesterfield.
Yep. Yeah, so shortly after we got married, we moved to Chesterfield, and we both decided it was really important for us to find a home church at that point. And so my wife came up with a list of churches that she wanted to check out, and The Crossing was the first one on the list. And so we came here one time, and we never made it anywhere else. I think for both of us, we just really connected with the teaching and the music right off the bat. But we also, it was really easy for us to also slip in and slip out and kind of hide in the back. And that was appealing to us at the time because it was easy. Yep. And so that was kind of our routine for a couple of years is we came pretty much every weekend, most weekends at least. And we didn't really know anyone. We didn't even talk to anyone. Even during the like turn to your neighbor conversations, we would just talk to each other so we didn't have to talk to anybody else. And I think for a while, we kind of convinced ourselves that we were okay with that being our church experience. But the more that we came and the more that we heard about all the different things that are going on at the church and opportunities to get involved, I think the more we felt this longing and desire for community and belonging and going deeper. And so ultimately, after we heard it announced, I don't know how many times, mostly from you, we decided to sign up for Explorations, and we went through Explorations together, and then we did a vision dinner. And then at the start of 2014, I signed up for my first men's group.
Okay, so, but right before that, we got Molly's permission to share this. Mm-hmm. Something pretty tragic happened in both of your lives, which spurred you then to take these steps into community.
Yeah, so it's summer of 2014. Actually, we were married for 3 years at that point, and we found out that Molly was pregnant. And so we were super excited. We were going to be first-time parents, and we had all these hopes and dreams and ideas of what that was going to look like. But then, unfortunately, a couple months later, she miscarried. And that was a really, really hard time for both of us. I think, one, because we were still pretty early in our marriage, and so we hadn't been through anything quite like that together. But I think, two, is we hadn't really told anyone other than our parents and immediate families that we were expecting. And so we didn't have anyone to kind of lean on or support us as we went through that. And for me, I had no clue, like, how do I be the husband that she needs me to be to support her while also processing through my own grief and my own loss of what just happened? And I think that really opened our eyes, and it became pretty clear to us that we were missing out on this idea and sense of community and having people who would lean into us and pray for us and speak truth to us and really just love on us.
Yep, so you're grieving, going, I don't know what to do, but I'm missing something. You keep coming to church, and you sign up for your first men's group.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first men's group I signed up for, it was here in Chesterfield. It was in the loft. I remember coming in. It was Saturday morning and checking in at the kiosk, and you get, you know, your name tag, and it says your table number that you're supposed to sit at. So I remember walking in and kind of finding my way to my table and sitting down and looking around, and pretty much everybody else at my table was over the age of 60, which was awesome, but I was like 24 at the time, and so I was probably the youngest guy in the room by maybe 15 years. At least it felt like that. And I think I remember going home afterwards, and my wife asked me, you know, how did it go? And my response was basically along the lines of, well, I'm probably not going to go out and grab beers with these guys afterwards, but I could tell there was a lot of wisdom that these guys had that they were willing to share. And I just found a lot of value coming week after week of being around a group of guys who were all trying to follow Jesus.
Yeah, he said to me, they were all 40 years older than me, but they were so wise. And you said it was my first experience of that, we talked about last week, that koinonia, that fellowship, that deep fellowship. So you're getting that experience, but then you have that. You're starting different, you're then dabbling in different, the men's group
yep.
stuff. And you have now a group of dudes you work out with.
Yep.
And then you and Molly joined a group.
Yeah. So about 4 years ago, my wife and I were invited to join a couples group. Now there's five other couples along with us. And all kind of in the same season of life, young kids, young families. And at the time we were invited, I was kind of on the fence. She wanted to do it, but I was kind of on the fence about committing to something else. It was a weeknight. They met on Thursday nights. It felt like we were already busy. I just didn't know that I wanted to spend the time and commit to doing that. It was a little bit overwhelming. And we talked about it, and like I said, she wanted to do it, so ultimately we did it. And I think... looking back on that now, 4 years later, it's one of the best decisions that we ever made, honestly. The people in that group are really some of our closest friends at this point. Some of them are literally next door neighbors to us. And they're people that we just get to do life with every single week.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, Derek. You went from a time in your life where you had no one to process, a miscarriage, and then 2 years of infertility. To now you have three major significant pockets of community that have now helped you welcome three beautiful children.
Yep.
They've walked you through more miscarriages.
Yep.
They're with you now through your dad's Parkinson's and navigating that. So it's pretty amazing the community you have. What would you say to anybody that doesn't have three, doesn't have two, maybe not even have one close friend? What would you say to them right now?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think the first thing is it's probably not going to happen overnight. Like, you're probably not going to show up to your first group or your class and walk away and feel this overwhelming sense of community and belonging. At least it didn't work that way for me. It's probably going to take time and effort and risk. especially for people who are a little bit more introverted like I tend to be, you're gonna have to put yourself out there and be vulnerable and willing to share whatever it is that you're going through. And you're gonna have to be consistent. You're gonna have to show up time and time and time again to really forge those relationships. I think the other thing is, Greg talked about it last week, it's gonna mean you're inconvenienced at times. And I know for us, there's really nothing convenient on Thursday night about me rushing home from the office, scarfing down dinner, getting three kids loaded up in the car, driving 20 plus minutes sometimes to one of our friends' house. But every single time that we do that and we get there, we've never once regretted it. It's always been worth it. Like I said, those people are some of our closest friends now, and I just can't imagine not having those relationships at this point. So I think you've got to be really intentional about it, and you've got to make it a priority. You know, the church has so many amazing things to get involved in, and you know, you heard about a lot of them today, whether it be groups, classes, serving opportunities. I play softball in the fall on a men's team. But you've got to make it a priority, and you've got to sign up for something and show up for something, or maybe invite somebody else in.
Yeah, well, I am so grateful when we were talking about this, and I said to the team, who is a story of who lives this out? And you're the one. You said you have to meet Derek. And especially for you as an introvert, like, way to go for getting up here and sharing your story. Like, way to go.
Yeah, Derek, you. Yeah. I'm so blessed by your friendship, and you are a perfect example of how to live this out. You have been intentional about finding the community and not giving up, and I know you, God has used you today to speak to a whole bunch of people, so thank you, my friend. Thank you for being on my bus, and I'm going to let these two go real quick, and I just want to say a couple quick things. As I was sitting there listening to Derek talk, I was thinking to myself, I think there is something deep down in all of us that wants to move forward, that wants to make progress in our faith, to want to find that kind of community that you know these people are, I mean, they are for you no matter what. And the thing is, we can't do that alone. We can't. God has wired you and I, friends, to be with him and to be with one another. And we can't wait till things clear up, because the time is now, really. But here's what I know. I know even now, though, as we're sitting there and we're listening to this message today, I know already the evil one is at work, and he's already whispering little lies in your ear, and he's telling you things like this. He's saying, you can do this alone. You don't need anybody. You're too busy. You got too much going on in your life. You already have enough friends already. Or you've tried this community thing before. And remember, it didn't work out so well for you because nobody ever called, nobody ever followed up. Or maybe the lie that is being whispered in your ear right now is that, you know what, it's just too darn risky. I'm going to get let down. Why even give it a try to begin with? And friends, what you need to know, that not only are those excuses, those are lies from the evil one himself, I'm telling you. So listen to this quote now. I read this in a men's devotional book this week that I'm going through. It says this: Jesus' 12 disciples weren't just underlings, but actual life-giving friends who walked with him for the whole of his ministry on earth. I love that. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had life-giving friends who walked alongside him, how much more do you and I need that? How much more do we need those life-giving friends? Because listen, today has been great. You have heard some really incredible practical ideas of how to step into community, which is really important. And honestly, part of this is like, this is how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, like it says in Hebrews. But as you and I are now taking these steps, we must never forget who we are taking steps towards. Because who we are taking a step towards, it's Jesus. It's all about him. He's the reason that we do all this. He's the reason that you and I take steps. And he loves us. And he loves us, it's true, right where we are. But he also loves us to move us out of where we are and move us in a place that we're closer to him so we don't stay the same. Because here's what I know about Jesus. As we explore truth, as we experience grace, as we express love in community, he will change us. He will transform our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And friends, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on any of it. I don't want to miss out on the work that God wants to do in and through my life. I don't want you to miss out on the work that God wants to do in and through your lives. So let's stay close to him. Let's continue to pursue him because he is in the process of making all things new and he is calling us to move forward this year with him. So will you stand with me now for closing prayer and let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for meeting us here today, for being in this place. God, I ask that you would make it clear through the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, would you make it clear what the next step is for us to take? And then would you then give us the courage to take that step and to move forward, Jesus? God, I'm asking you would continue to change our lives. And as you do that, would you use us now to help change the world through you? We love you. We trust you. In Jesus, your powerful name, amen. Amen. You guys have an awesome week, all right? Thanks for being here.